Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. The theme of the sermon is the risen Christ counseling Mary Magdalene's heart. And in the first part, Dr. Beakey spoke of how Mary Magdalene encountered the risen Christ outside the tomb, though at first she did not recognize who it was. Now Dr. Beakey will speak from verses 16 and following of how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Mary in many ways as a wonderful counselor. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
Our extremity is God's opportunity. And when seeking sinners are cut off from all their own righteousness, and must descend into a hellish grave before God, the gates of heaven are thrown open. And that's what happens here. The greater Joseph, the perfect counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ, can no longer refrain himself from pouring into this poor sinner's wounds his own blood balm of Gilead. Jesus saith unto her, verse 16, Mary, Mary. The name Mary is a beautiful name. It's a compound of two Hebrew words. It means exalted by the Lord. How fitting. How fitting is this name for Mary? She was possessed by demons. She's now by grace exalted by the Lord. And she's exalted in a double way, because now she's exalted to be the first to whom the resurrected Christ appears. And Mary would be the first to say, that's not because of anything of me. This is just pure sovereign grace. But Mary was also pronounced by Jesus in a very tender way, in a compassionate way. We can't catch the tone of voice on the page, but we can catch it in our imagination. Mary's weeping, wailing. She's overwhelmed. She's helpless, hopeless. She looks into the sepulcher. Everything speaks of death. And Jesus says, with holy familiarity and with holy tenderness and holy compassion, Mary. She recognizes. She cannot but recognize his voice. It's a word of comfort. It's a word of forgiveness. It's a word full of grace, a familiar word, a word spoken with reverence, with tenderness, with meaning, but also a word spoken with authority. There was something of authority in that tenderness, because now it's pronounced by the exalted King of Kings. This is Dr. Kuyvenhoven said this morning. The common greeting, peace be unto thee, was not common in this situation. It just didn't have a bare common meaning. It had a deep meaning. Peace, all health, all salvation, all welfare be unto you. So in the very pronouncing of her name, there was an authority there that came from the exalted King, to whom all power is given in heaven and earth, that made Mary turn, as it were. It's just one word. But everything was in that one word. A word of divine self-disclosure. She realized it was him, Jesus. He who was dead is now alive. Mary. It brought back a flood of memories from this counselor's lips. Memories of her sin. Memories of his grace. Memories of his counsel. Mary. It was too good to be true. She had hoped for a dead Jesus, but now the living Jesus was calling her. She had hoped to serve his body, but now he was serving her soul. He was taking her from Mara to Elam. What a fountain of comfort she found in the simple pronouncement of her name by the exalted King of Kings. And she noticed, no doubt, that he just said Mary. He didn't say Mary Magdalene. For her life of Magdalene, her life of prostitution or whatever else it was forgiven. It was all buried in the empty sepulcher. She had had so much grief over her sins in her life. But now it's as if Jesus said in this one word, Mary, said it as a counselor. I won't bother you anymore about your past, your Magdalene past. Mary from Magdalene, a place of prostitution. My Father is satisfied with what I have done for you, Mary. For the rest of your life, though you may be bothered at times with your past, I will never be the one to bother you. I have washed your sins away. You too, like the Father, have every right to be satisfied with my satisfaction for your sins. And what a lesson that is from this counselor. You know, when you counsel true children of God and they can't lay hold of forgiveness, this is one of the best things you can say to them. Father in heaven is satisfied with the cleansing blood of his own son. Why are not you? Why are not you? Mary. Mary can now say, like John could say, on the Sea of Tiberias, with Jesus standing on the shore, it's the Lord! It's the Lord! It's the voice of my beloved! Her eyes go open. She turns back again to him. And she cries out, Rabboni! My master! My teacher! You're not just a gardener, a spiritual gardener, no less, but you are a counselor. You are the planter, the sower, the reaper of my heart. In that sense, you're a true gardener, but you're more. You're my Savior, my Lord, my Master, my Counselor, Rabboni. Mary's heart is conquered. Jesus reveals himself to her. And in the revelation, he conquers her. Pastor Moody Stewart says, one word brings before her Jesus, all that he has done in her behalf, all that he has been to her, all that he is in his own loveliness. One word changes tears of sorrow into tears of joy. One word delivers her soul from captive bands. With one word, she experiences Isaiah 54, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Well, the Mary who was planted together with him in the likeness of his death was now planted together with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Spiritually, inside of her, the word Mary was like the word Lazarus, come forth physically. And Lazarus was resurrected and came forth. Her soul, as it were, may I say it with reverence, was resurrected within her. She turns herself. Rabboni, she says. Which is to say, Master. Teacher, Master. Counselor, Master. You could translate it. It's so rich. Now she stands with her back to death, with her back to the sepulcher and her face to Jesus. She breaks forth in a cry of mingled tenderness, mingled reverence and devotion and astonishment and ecstasy and worship, and all rolled into one. Rabboni, my Lord, my Master, my teacher, my counselor. With an outburst of worship and a heartfelt confession of loyalty, Mary cries out a special name for Jesus. Master, teacher, counselor. Counselor of my reason, counselor of my conscience, counselor of my affections, counselor of my strength, my heart, my life. It's really a one-word prayer. A prayer of adoration, a prayer of confession, a prayer of worship, a prayer of submission to this counselor, Rabboni. Masterless Mary receives her master back. Counselor-less, if I can say that word, Mary receives her counselor back. Savior-less Mary receives her Savior back. The chief prophet, the only high priest, the eternal king, makes himself known to Mary. It becomes Easter. Rabboni. She's conquered. She believes. Her dead spices are of no use anymore. They're left behind at the grave. She embraces Christ as a resurrection and life. She experiences the reality of what he had formerly said, I live and you shall live also. Christ is for her now the living amen of all God's promises. She is absolutely conquered. But Jesus' counseling is not done. He now has a huge, challenging lesson for her heart. Yes, this was a sacred moment. A moment that both Mary and Christ would never forget. God's people can have their sacred moments in life of communion with Jesus that you can't explain to anyone else. It can only scratch the surface. This was such a moment for Mary. There stands Jesus. There stands Mary. Jesus' bands are broken. The bands of death are broken. Mary's bands of sorrow are broken. Both are free. Both rejoice in each other. Christ is glad with his Mary. Mary is glad with her counselor, Rabboni. So it's understandable that Mary now wants to fall at his feet. She wants to hold his feet as a symbol of reverence and love. Her heart was filled like the bride. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. She thinks no doubt of the days before Golgotha. She thinks those days have returned. She thinks she can embrace him. She wants to preserve him the way she once knew him. But as she's about to reach out and embrace him, the counselor stops her. And immediately he gives her wise counsel. He has a profound lesson to teach her. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren. What an amazing lesson. Why was Mary Magdalene not allowed to touch him? But Thomas was invited to do so. And the other women, as we'll hear a few weeks from now, God willing, held him by his feet. A lot of ink has been spilt over trying to explain this, but I believe you can boil it down to four interwoven reasons. The first is, Christ knows how prone Mary would be to never let him go. But Mary must be weaned from his physical presence to end in higher spiritual communion alone as a preparation for his departure to the right hand of the Father. Jesus wants to warn her against an unholy familiarity and an unholy boldness that leans on his sensible physical presence. He wanted to make clear to Mary that the former mode of fellowship in which he lived in daily visible association with her and others would not be resumed. Much as he had to teach his own mother that lesson. So he has to teach Mary Magdalene that lesson. But the good news is the fellowship will now be richer than ever by his Holy Spirit, because a new age has now dawned. It would be the communion of the ascended Lord through the Spirit and through his church. As one old writer put it, Mary Magdalene was prone to think too much of Christ's humanity and too little of his divinity. And Jesus wanted to, as the wise counselor, put that into a better balance. She had to learn it was not his literal flesh, but according to his spirit that she had to worship him. As Paul says, we would no longer know him in the body, but in the spirit. Secondly, Christ is hers forever. Jesus wants to teach her as counselor, but he must still do more for her. It's as if he says, Mary, you act as if all is done, that we will never be separated again. But I must still return to my Father on your account, to my Father and your Father. And you see here, there's a great difference between Mary Magdalene's attitude and Thomas's attitude. One of the Bonar brothers says it best. He says, she believed too much, he too little. She was all faith, faith too hasty in its conclusions. He was all unbelief, unbelief refusing to believe even that this was his master. And so Christ, as a wise counselor, handles each case according to each case's need. Thomas needed an invitation to come and touch, to confirm his faith. Christ stoops to his level. But Mary Magdalene is full of faith. She didn't really need to touch, though she desired it. And so Christ removed the prop of touch in order to forward her more into the spirituality of their relationship, so she could live more by faith and less by sight. Then thirdly, the urgency of delivering the gospel message. Jesus wanted to impress upon her. She was the first to whom Christ revealed himself. And so he says to her at the end of verse 18, or 17 rather, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Be not self-centered on me, Mary, but be other person-centered. As you receive the gospel, go proclaim it to your needy brethren. Similar to what we heard this morning. You see, Christ would have her realize the deep confession of the four leprous men who found great spoil. And they said in 2 Kings 7:9, this day is a great day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Let's go and tell the good news. Well, that was physical food. So Jesus says, go and tell the spiritual food, the spiritual good news, Mary, to the brethren. Now, the word go here is in that particular tense in the Greek language, which is onward going. You could translate it, but be going now, Mary. Don't tarry. Be on your way. The disciples need it badly. This is the call, you see, to every true believer. Go and say. Don't hoard it, this rich Savior, this rich gospel, to yourself. Going, in such a case as this, is better than touching. Carrying Christ's message, more honorable than staying at his side. When we experience fellowship, we must go tell. We must go witness. Fellowship is fruit eaten. Witnessing is seed sown. The latter is greater than the former. They both have great value. They both are complementary to each other. But Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go out, in and out, and find pasture. Our Heidelberg Catechism says it so well. By Christ, we go out into the world praying to win others to Christ with our godly conversation. Lord's Day 32. So if God has lighted your candle, you're called to let that light shine before men. Not with a shallow kind of flippant false witnessing, but with a true, deep kind of witnessing. Telling others of the beauty and the glory of Christ and what he has done for you. Then fourthly, finally, Christ desires to test Mary's surrendering in love to further her own growth in grace, so that Mary herself could fall away on all sides and Christ would really be everything. You see, when you really commune with Christ, your greatest desire is to obey him. You just want to honor him. You want to say thank you through obedience. And so Jesus, implicitly at least, is testing her. Go tell Mary. Go tell. And Mary goes tells. There's no hesitation. She doesn't say, well, just let me hold your feet for 1 minute, Lord. Rabboni. No. He's Rabboni. He's counselor. And she's the counselee. She's going to listen to him. She trusts his advice. He says, go tell. Be going, Mary. She gets going. And so he doesn't only reveal herself to her heart as a counselor and conquer her heart as a counselor and give her a lesson for her heart as a counselor, but he also gives a commission to her heart as a counselor. And she goes. She goes. You know, Paul said a woman was the first in transgression. A first to have Christ's resurrection revealed. But a woman is also the first to proclaim his resurrection that had become visible for her. Isn't it interesting that God uses a woman in all these instances? Women have so many valuable ministries they can fulfill in the church today and outside of the church. And all the women issues of our day, we should be focusing on that. Not focusing on the one area that is roped off office bearing, according to Pauline declaration from God. Women, too, are to use their gifts to go tell. And this is a remarkable commission. Not only to announce the resurrection, but actually Mary is to go a step further and she's to announce the coming ascension. Did you catch that? Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. I ascend. I'm alive now, but I want to tell you, and I want the brethren to know, I won't be around physically very much longer. I'm on my way to ascend to my Father and to your Father. That's a remarkable commission. And Jesus uses the ongoing sense here too. Literally in Greek, if you translate it literally, go tell my brethren, I am ascending. It's as if I'm almost leaving the ground now. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to my Father, to your Father, to represent you, to intercede for you, to make a place for you. Tell them to get ready. Tell my brethren to get ready for my parting instructions to them. It's as if Jesus says, tell them I'm no more the man of sorrows, but the King of glory. Tell them we have one Father and one Spirit. And that my Father and my Spirit is your Father and your Spirit. Tell them that I am going out my way to be interceding for them, that they may be kept through my name. Tell them that I am their older brother, bone of their bone, flesh of their flesh, born for adversity, but now able to meet all their needs and wants as the exalted Lord of glory. Tell them that I am the conqueror over death, that I lead captivity captive, and they shall be conquerors through me. Tell them I ascend to my Father and their Father, that this relationship is so permanent, so comforting, that I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. If we're in Christ, as Martin Luther said, we have nothing to fear. If Christ is our brother, said Luther, I would like to know, what do we still lack? If he's our older brother and he will care for us like an older brother cares for younger siblings when they're in need, what could we possibly miss in him? What an encouragement. Go tell my brethren. What a message. I ascend to my Father and to your Father. So Mary runs. She runs. Her self-denial is tried by Christ's touch not. Her obedience is tested by Christ's go tell. But by grace, she easily passes both tests. She goes right away. Her tears are dried up. Her fears are gone. Her grief is departed. She's radiant with joy. One old divine put it this way, radiant with superlative joy, she sails like a vessel laden with precious fruit into the place where the disciples are gathered. And she bursts into the mournful room with boldness. I have seen the Lord. He's not dead. He's alive. He's Rabboni, the counselor, the Messiah, the Savior. She proclaims the resurrection. She proclaims the ascension with liberty.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."